Welcome to the Conquering Chaos Podcast. I'm your host, Erin E. Hooley, president and founder of multi-million dollar e-commerce children's clothing line, Bailey's Blossoms. So it turns out I'm pretty good at business, but what really lights my soul on fire is providing other entrepreneurs and mompreneurs with the tools they need to truly succeed. So if you have a business or have one on your heart, you're in good company. Pull up a chair or drop in some earbuds and let's conquer some chaos today. Today's guests are husband and wife, Jason and Heather Hansen. They've been married for 22 years and have three children together. We recently had the opportunity to have Jason to our house for dinner and listen firsthand to their story of not only loss, but incredible love. 5 years ago, the Hansons lost their beautiful 16-year-old daughter, Kennedy, after a long and difficult journey with Batten disease. And as a parent, I can't even begin to imagine the pain and the strength that that would require. But the most remarkable and inspiring part of their story is their ability to turn that pain into purpose, and through the sharing of Kennedy's story, have impacted millions of lives. They travel around the world together, speaking and keeping Kennedy's legacy alive. T.C. Christensen was so moved by Kennedy that he produced the film Love Kennedy, which shines a beacon of light on the darkest of human circumstances. After listening to Jason, I knew I had to invite both him and his wife onto the show to pour some of that light and strength into each of you. Jason and Heather, it is truly an honor to have you here with me today.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Thank you for having us. We're honored.
I'd love to just turn the time over to you guys to allow you guys to kind of share and walk everybody through who you are, who Kennedy is, and a little bit of her story.
Okay. Heather and I met, we'll be married 3 years in September. I always get it wrong because, so I've said 24, 21, we've been married 23, but we've been together for 24 years and we met at college at Weber State University. We got married, and when we first got married, I was going to school, Heather was going to school and working. Before I graduated, during that process, Heather got pregnant with Kennedy. And Kennedy was our first daughter. And the miracle of that was that at the time, we didn't know that we would never be able to have any more children other than Kennedy, biologically. And so to us, Kennedy was a surprise.
Yes, we were not planning on having children at the time because we were both in college and wanted to finish, start careers, and then look at having a family. And other plans happened, and we were surprised when we found out pregnant, not planning or attending at all. So that was a miracle in of itself too, that we even got pregnant as we were trying to prevent. And then, like Jason said, finding out later down the road, years later, that we really couldn't even have children. And so miracles started immediately.
Yeah, started immediately with us.
Yes, in
our
marriage.
That's amazing.
But she wasn't perfect, but she was a delight. She was so easy from day one. And even when she was born, it was funny because when she was born, she just came out and kind of looked around and didn't even cry, just kind of made a little squawk and smiled. So she was ready to be here. And, you know, she was incredible from day one. We really wanted to have six kids. And we tried and tried and tried everything, you know, that we could, even medically. And they finally said, well, you're just not going to have more kids. So with that, we were blessed enough to actually adopt Anna, who's now 22, and Bo, who's now 11. We also adopted another little boy that we actually waited for quite some time, over a year. And then we got him, and we had him for about 5 weeks, and then hit through the court system. His mother ended up taking him back.
Wow.
So that was really hard on our family. And then in 2013, we were given the news that our daughter Kennedy had
Batten.
Sorry. See, you made me cry. I haven't cried in a while, so this is good. And just, there's a saying I say is tough guys cry. So she was diagnosed with terminal Batten disease. And she passed away
a year later.
We held her funeral a year to the date of her diagnosis. But through that journey, we looked back and we saw all these miracles that had happened in our life that we really didn't realize were a preface to her touching millions of people. And she used to always tell us, Mom and Dad, my story will be shared with the world. And we'd say, what are you talking about, be shared with the world? That's so cocky. You know, you don't see things like that. But she knew her story would be shared with the world. And so,
and she would tell us, you just don't understand. And she didn't know how to explain it. And
yeah,
and we didn't understand until everything kind of started unraveling. And then we saw, well, this is what Kennedy was talking about the whole time. We didn't see the whole picture.
Right.
And so we're seeing it now, and it's been a blessing to us as her parents, because it's been blessing lives of a lot of other people. And that's what brings us true joy and happiness through our journey with Kennedy and the struggles that we had to go through with her and her disease.
Absolutely. Thank you. I love that. And I love that it's that those miracles started from day one. And at the time when they did you see them as miracles, or was it, or did it take some time for you to recognize that hand?
Well, let me back up. So there's been a movie made that's called Love, Kennedy. You can go see it on Amazon Prime for free. But anyway, in that film, 95% of what you see really happened, and 95% of what you hear is our exact words. And when I was 18, shortly after high school, I actually had a dream. Where I saw Heather and Kennedy, in my dream, and I was just a kid, and I had this dream several times, and I didn't understand the dream, but the book gives more detail about that. But that's really when it all started for me, was that, you know, I saw her in my dream, and I saw Heather, and I didn't understand all that it meant. But in my dream, I get this enormous hug from Kennedy, and, in my dream, she's probably about 3 years old. And so that's when it started. And so then you fast forward all these years. And one day when she was 3 years old, I'm sitting there, you know, thinking about it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's her. That's Heather. So that's when it started. And then in our life, we're just like any family. We were trying to make ends meet. We were trying to just pay the bills. We were trying to raise kids. We were trying just to have fun, you know. 4th of July is coming up. So we would be like, we got to get ready for 4th of July and have fun. And then, you know, we're like any family. You get everything ready for a party, and then you walk out and the dogs chewed everything up. Right?
Or it's raining, or
it's raining or whatever.
Someone's sick.
We just went with life and love life. And we had so much fun with Kennedy and our other two kids, and Anna when they were little. And so, you know, but as we look through, I was not a good journal keeper, but anytime something major happened, I wrote it down. Mm. And so we're grateful for that, because then when we got the opportunity to share her story, especially at the end, when she got sick, she said, Dad, please, please share my story. So we went to Facebook when Facebook was big. I mean, it's still big, but I mean, when it was really, you know, the only thing, there wasn't Instagram. Right. And all this stuff. So we started to document it, and it ended up that she had about 4.5 million followers. Wow. You know, and all we did is share what happened every day for the last year of her life.
But to me, I think that that's just such a depiction of how much the world is starving for light. And they may not even know that that's what they're starving for. But when they feel that, when they sense that, and they kind of cleave to it and they run towards it, and they don't even know what it is that's drawing them in. But it's really, it's that light, it's that faith, it's that hope. And that's what I love. And when you were talking at the dinner table, surrounded by our six kids, who that was, it's funny, that was a miracle in and of itself, because our kids never leave us alone when we have a guest. Never. They're hanging on the person, they're causing a ruckus, and we're like, okay, time to go. But they, I mean, you can attest to this, they all quietly slipped out of the room. We had a conversation, and not until after it was over, when Brandon and I were driving, we're going, did you realize that our kids were perfectly quiet? Like for over an hour. I mean, that's incredible. But it was really, I think that was really the Lord just kind of clearing the noise so that we could really focus in on the things that matter most.
I agree. And the spirit, there's a wonderful spirit in your home. I loved being there. And what's interesting is that so in our book, there's a saying that we have, and it's, you always listen to a higher power, which is the spirit. You'll know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
And for the listeners that don't understand, I've done some business with the Hoolies, and they're incredible people. And, you know, I call them, they're full of integrity. But when I was in Dallas, I mean, not Dallas, Austin on business, I just had this strong, strong feeling that I needed to go and visit the Hoolies, not just for business. I called my wife and I said, I'm extending my trip a day. because the spirit's telling me that I need to go visit them. And so I drove whatever it was, 4 hours or whatever, and was able to go see the business and stuff. But I really, don't take this the wrong way, I didn't even care about that. I cared about you.
Yeah.
So to me, it was, I mean, I care about it, but it was more gratifying to come there and feel of your family and feel of your, of yourselves. And yeah, I thought your kids were just perfect. I'm like, man, how'd they get them to be like?
No, it really was. And that's the biggest thing that I think is sets the stage for this entire, your entire experience, your entire life's experience is, man, hindsight's 20/20 for a reason. You look back and you see all these pieces that just seemed like jumbled mess, painful, agonizing at times. And then you go, oh, wow, there were lessons in here that I needed to learn. There were pieces that I couldn't have progressed without this. There's people I needed to meet. There's lives I needed to impact.
Well, and that's, we, to give an example, Heather wanted 6 kids. I wanted 5 or 6. And so we bought this huge house, you know, and prepared for these 6 kids, and they never came. Hmm. And that was the biggest challenge for Heather, more than I, like, why can't I have kids? I don't understand. And I kept telling her, we'll know one day. I don't know. And then with this house, then I'm the breadwinner. So I'm going, holy cow, I have this massive liability hanging over my head. Every day I've got to work my bones, you know, fingers of the bone to be here. And then people are like, why don't you just sell it? And I'm like, 'cause we're supposed to be here. And so we raised our daughters here, Candy and Anna. And then of course we got Bo, but as time moved on, when Kennedy got sick, and I mean really sick, when she got to the point where she, you know, had to be in a wheelchair and whatnot, every door in our house but one was a wheelchair accessible door. Wow. Everything was on one level. Because it's, the house is fairly large, about 7,000 square feet. And when you watch the film, it's in the movie. That's our home. We let them use our home to film. But every single thing that we needed, that we would have had to have, a lot of Batten families. So the disease Batten is really ugly. I mean, imagine having cancer, epilepsy, Parkinson's, ALS, all mixed together. You know, that's what it is. It's just a horrific disease, and it kills the brain in a nutshell, to make it easy for listeners. And it basically debilitates the individual to the point where they can't function anymore. So Kendi was fortunate because she actually really only had to suffer for probably, I mean, she had problems, but real suffering for 2 months before she passed away. But then over the years, there was declination. But the point is that this house, we're supposed to be here because of her abilities to be able to navigate. And she was blind, so she learned the house in all of her younger years. So then when she was blind, she was able to learn to go throughout the house for almost 2 years fully blind. Furthermore, there was a movie made that was in this house, and when the producers came, they said, we never asked this, but we're gonna ask, can we film it here? This is a perfect setting for our film. So it all worked out. There's no amount of money, none, that you can replace, you know, the things that you're gonna touch others with. And so I think that, yes, you look forward and then you look backward and you realize that all these things were supposed to happen for reasons that aren't necessarily for you. So that's one experience.
So, and I'll just share something real quick too, as Jason was talking about our inability to have more children and how hard that was on both of us, really, but probably particularly more for me. I remember asking those questions and saying, you know, as I was praying, I don't understand this. This isn't fair. This, everybody else is having children. I was so happy for people going to their baby showers and yet wanting to celebrate that joy for them, and inside being torn because I didn't get to be able to participate in that. And for years, we did not understand, but I knew that at one point, like Jason originally said, we would get those answers sometime. I don't know, maybe not in this life, right? So when, fast forward to when Kennedy got her disease, and it's a neurological disease, Batten, but it's also genetic. And so we found out that because we both carry a gene, had we had more children, there would have been a big possibility that they may have had the same disease too.
Wow.
So I look at that as also another miracle of hard things happen in our lives and we don't always understand why. And sometimes it takes a lot of time and a lot of years and a lot of faith and hope that it'll all work out, that we do get those answers. And it really was a blessing for us that we could not have more biological children because the Lord knew that there's no way we could have done that with more than one child.
Absolutely. So I'd love to know with your guys' relationship, and I've seen this a lot, especially with big trials and big struggles, it tends to either draw people closer to one another or drive a wedge in between them. How did that look for you guys?
Well, we decided, sat down as a family after we found out what Kennedy's disease was and what it was going to involve, and we talked about it, and we had this open discussion with our children, and especially between he and I, you know, when we were alone, of, okay, are we going to let this build our family and strengthen us and use it for something good and inspire others, or are we going to digress, and are we going to fight about it? Are we going to just huddle in our house and not expose ourselves to anybody, to not share our experiences? And, you know, there's the opposite of what you could do for good. And so we each decided that it was best for us to have hope and use it as a tool to bring goodness to this world and to each other. And, you know, Jason and I grieve differently, and we know that, and we accept it, and we let each other do what we need to do. And we have that understanding so that it doesn't pull us apart, because, oh, what is it? Maybe 90, 85, 90% of couples now that
higher.
Is it higher? It could be that have a child with a terminal illness or something very severe like that end up in divorce. And
wow.
Some situations that would be appropriate. But for us, we decided ahead of time and before things got even more difficult, what we were going to do and how we were going to help one another through this and as a family rather than let it tear us apart.
Yeah. And that's incredible. And especially because not only did you persevere through that together, obviously successfully, but then to both individually and collectively have the strength to turn it into something that could make an impact on the world for good, to build her legacy and to continue her legacy forward by allowing her not just to just make an impact of people during her duration on the earth, but then after it as well. Was that something you were both on board about from the beginning, or did that take some time?
So again, the way that started was Kennedy, she was declining for years, and 4 years before she passed away, again, we call them Jason moments because I have this curse. It's a blessing and a curse. Just like with you, you know, the spirit will tell me, go do this. So I just don't question it anymore. But sometimes it's not what I want to do or I want to hear. And so 4 years before she passed away, I had an experience that, and it talks about it in the movie and the book, where I was told that she was going home. And I was told specifically that one morning when I was praying. And I went to Heather and told her, it took me a couple of days, this is the experience I had, and Heavenly Father needs Kennedy home. I don't know if she's going to get hit by a bus. I don't know if she's going to get a disease. I don't know. Because at the time, that was 4 years before. So she was 12 years old. And she had started to lose her eyesight and had started to have some learning disability. But socially and everything else, you know, she Batten actually is a declination back in different areas. So she still was boy crazy. She still was in sport. She still was, you know, doing all the stuff she did. So we didn't assume it was a disease, but when I told Heather says, no, I can't accept that. There's no way because her mom died from cancer when she was 15 and Heather took care of her with her family. And that was brutal on her and her family. And so Heather's like, I don't want to accept it. So I only shared that experience with a few other close people to me that were friends and family, and even had a meeting at her house. And I said, I'm having this meeting because I don't know if I'm going crazy, but I've truly felt this. And I felt that the people that were in the meeting were the people that would be my greatest support. And unfortunately, one thing I've learned is you have what's called rescuers, and then you have what's called lifers. And rescuers are the ones that when all the crap hits the fan, they will run to you and they will try to do everything they can to help you. Most of the rescuers, they go away. Lifers are there forever. They're there no matter what. But in that meeting, there was some that behind my back for those years were like, Jason's losing his marbles, and thought I was. So you can imagine that was 4 years. So I carried that burden for 3 years alone. But here's the answer to your question. The reason I'm sharing that is that Heather and I aren't the best at it. We try. We pray every night together. You know, we try to nail down some nights, like the other night was 1:30 in the morning, and I'm just like, oh, I am so dead tired. You know, you say the prayer. But we nail across the bed from each other. We have this huge gargantuan bed. And I always tell people this, and Heather gets sick of me here, but she is not a snuggler at all. You don't touch her
when
in her
sleep.
When
I want to sleep, yeah. I want to sleep.
Like, leave me alone.
Don't touch her in her sleep, and don't eat her food. Those two things. So, what ended up happening is that we'd pray every night, and every night for those 3 years, I would say every night, you need to get ready.
Yeah, and I didn't want to accept it. I believed he had that experience because I knew in my heart he did, but I didn't want to accept it. So I would just tell him, no, I'm not going to accept this. I just do not want to accept it.
And so as we got closer and as things happened, it was about 6 months before the diagnosis, yeah. Is that we had said prayer one night, gone to bed, and it was in the middle of the night. It was like maybe 2 or 3 in the morning. And I woke up, and we have a little cubby in our room with some sitting chairs, and Heather was sitting in one of the chairs and she was crying. Mm-hmm. And I went over to her and I said, what is going on? Are you okay? And she said, I'm so sorry. She says, I was awoken. It's been confirmed. We're going to lose Kennedy. And I finally was like, oh yes. Because, you know, I carried that alone for so long. And every day I'd look at Kennedy like, God, what do I do? I'm in a loser. So what do I do? And all I could do is love her. You know, all I could do is be like, I need to raise her and teach her the right things because she doesn't have a lot of time here. And so I did have my earthly father. His name's Doug Hansen. He's amazing. But he actually was very supportive of me. And he believed, you know, what I said. And my mom did too, but my dad and I would have these talks and he would just be like, son, all you can do is go by the Spirit. So when we were finally together, we weren't arguing. We never argued about Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Oh, we argue. We can argue really good. We never argued about Kennedy ever, but now we were together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the time also, we were going to Primary Children's Hospital almost weekly at that time because now Kennedy was really declining. She was almost fully blind. You know, she was losing some mobility. She was having seizures,
cognitive delays.
And all these things were happening. So we wanted answers, but now we knew. So now it was like, okay, we both know we're going to lose her, but we still didn't have the diagnosis. So all that happened before we had a terminal diagnosis.
Wow.
We didn't know. We didn't even know what she had. You know, some experts like, oh, she just has epilepsy. Oh, she just has Stargardt's disease, blindness for children. Oh, she just has a learning disability. Oh, you know, there was no definitive. So when we both got the definitive answer that on June 5th, there's paramount dates, June 5th, 2013, I was gone with a group of scouts in Moab. Heather was home and we got the test result back through a phone call that it was terminal juvenile Batten disease. And so Heather called me and we talked. I was in the middle of the desert. I don't know how my phone worked. It wasn't supposed to work. Another miracle, but it worked. And as we talked, it hit us that, like Heather said, oh my gosh, if we would have had more kids, now this all makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what we were thinking. Of course we were worried about Kennedy. Of course we were worried about our family. But that's what hit us the hardest is, wow, we've really been blessed. Now we got to take care of Kennedy. Now we got to make some decisions.
Yeah.
Because then we didn't know how long is she going to live, what's going to happen. But in that meeting we had with our family, so I was telling Heather, I'll come home. I'll leave these boys and come home. And she says, no, Kennedy wouldn't want that. So that was a long 3 days, but I came home after 3 days and that's when we had that meeting with our family. And that is where that's where we were really on the same page.
Wow.
Okay, we're going to go share her with the world. And that's what Kennedy wanted. And we said, we're going to live a million lifetimes in a year. And we both felt it would be a year. We both had this overwhelming feeling. She's got 1 year to live. And her funeral was held a year later.
Wow.
So,
and the thing is Kennedy did not want her story shared for all the wrong reasons. She didn't want it to,
exactly.
to be famous, as some people would say, or to get attention. She just wanted to share her journey to be able to help others,
yeah.
to be able to give hope and to let them know, you know, look at what I'm learning, especially through this whole thing, is you look at all the small little things and are so grateful for those little things, because somebody else's situation is a lot worse than your own. And sometimes we can get so wrapped up in looking at the difficult things we're going through that we cannot see the light and the hope and the little miracles and the tender mercies that are present every day.
Yeah.
But if we just take time throughout the day to focus on those little tiny things we're grateful for, it changes our perspective on the whole journey and gives us that hope and gives us the strength that we need to be able to overcome and go through the difficult things we have to face in life.
Absolutely. And you guys are such a beacon of that strength and that hope and that light. And Kennedy clearly was as well. And I'd love to understand what are some of the things about Kennedy that made her impact so profound? What were some of the things that she did and that she exuded that really touched people in the way that she's been able to touch them?
Well, the greatest statement I ever heard from someone about Kennedy was around her funeral. And it was from somebody that I didn't think was that close to Kennedy, but they said, you know, she was my best friend. And I kind of looked at this person like, what? Because it was a guy. And I'm like, you didn't, and he said, but she was everybody's best friend. Mm. And so, and that's, if you ask Kennedy who her best friend was, she'd always tell you Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, huh? She'd always say that first. And then she'd say, and then my family, but then everybody. Hmm. And so that was all there. And if you ask, there was the cheerleaders who she was a cheerleader, which was an amazing experience. She always wanted to be a cheerleader. And her disease took that away from her. And so they thought, well, they saw her at a game cheering. And she was like belting it out. Like she walked onto the track. She wanted to cheer so bad that she walked down. I'm like, where are you going? So she has her cane and she goes down there. And this is in the movie. And I chased her down there and she's cheering. And the cheerleaders saw that and they thought, who is that? And then they heard through the grapevine who she was. And some of them knew her and they heard that she had a terminal illness. So they thought, well, let's let her come cheer one game with us. Mm. They did that and she could cheer because she was in dance and cheer her whole life. Mm. She could cheer and she could jump and she could scream and she could yell. She was louder than all of them put together. And so they made her part of the team and she cheered every single game, every single assembly, even up until 2 days before she died in her wheelchair. So I would say, you know, being a friend,
her ability to love everyone, no matter what their circumstances, no matter.
I wasn't done.
He was no, recomposing.
I'm taking over to let him compose. But she didn't judge others.
She did not say
or look at, you know, they're not the same religion or they're not the same color or they don't come from the same type of family or they don't, you know, aren't thin enough or pretty enough or whatever it was. She never, ever judged anybody. Like, she knew and wanted to know their hearts and accepted everyone.
She did.
And that was an amazing gift and ability that she had that we can each try to accumulate ourselves in. Just loving, just not judging, you know, because we don't know what somebody else's situation is. And if we had that picture, if we had the understanding, how much more compassionate would we be towards others? And so her ability to love, show love and acceptance for all was one of her greatest gifts.
And then I was just going to say, she had unending faith.
Yeah.
She, man... It was proven at the end of her life. This may seem cliche or cheesy to some, but the last year of her life, you know, she could say, I want it to rain M&Ms. And I swear it would have rained M&Ms. She told us one day, my favorite band is Imagine Dragons. I love them so much. And so she would sing the song Radioactive, you know, and she had some cousins that introduced her to the music. And one day she says, Dad, I'm going to meet them. I'm going to meet them at their concert. They're going to sing a song to me. And I was like, what are you talking about? Do you know how popular they are? They're the number one band in the world right now. And this is back when Radioactive came out. And so she would sing this song. Well, one of her cousins filmed her singing it and put it on Facebook. And back then, if you had 10,000 followers on Facebook, you know what happened? All 10,000 would see what you post. That floated around and somehow got full circle to Dan Reynolds and the band. So I'm driving down the road one day to work, and I get this phone call, and it's like, hey, is this Mr. Hansen? I said, yeah. He says, hey, this is so-and-so. I'm the manager for Imagine Dragons band. Dan Reynolds wants to meet your daughter, Kennedy. And I'm like, what? Are you serious right now? He says, yeah. And so they came to Ogden to a concert. Things were arranged. And Kennedy was like, I told you. And so she was able to go down and meet them before the concert. And they started the concert like 10 minutes late because they wanted to. When you got around her, like Heather said, that love, that, you know, feeling of want, people wanted to be around her. I kind of, like, towards the end of her life, I was like, can we get these people out of our house so I can have dad time? Had thousands of people, not hundreds, coming in and out of the door of our house because everybody would hear about her. We had people drive. We had people we didn't know.
She wasn't a celebrity. She just was herself.
She was herself, but she was in tune, and she loved everybody. And the famous thing she has is Kennedy's hugs. She was famous for her hugs. She would hug you no matter what. If you didn't want a hug, you're getting a hug. She probably learned that from us because that's how we are. But she amplified it times 50. And her hug was kind of like she'd grab you and hug you and then bring you in and just squeeze you like crazy, you know, and just hug you. And you were like, oh, you know, you're going to shoot. And so people don't forget that. But to this day, we just had our 5-year anniversary of her passing, and it's so amazing to me how many people really think that she was her best friend. Like I said, she's like, no, she was my best friend. And so that's how the world feels about her. She really was like the movie portrays. That's just how she was.
That's incredible. With the movie and obviously and the book and being able to travel and share this story together, what is the ultimate goal for you as a family and as a couple? What would you love to see come about through this? Obviously, there have been lots of miracles. Can you touch on some of those and your thoughts there?
So our goal, well, first of all, our intentions of the book and the movie and everything were never to get worldly gain in any way. Right. And in fact, that was one of our rules that we said, we will do this and we will share what we can. But in no way do we personally need to have to benefit and profit off of it. And so if there are any funds that come in, it goes into Kennedy's Hugs Foundation and goes back out to help other kids that have Batten or people who've lost children. I mean, anything from helping to pay for funerals to taking families on trips or whatever it is that we can give back is our intentions. And so we're not, in fact, somebody asked Jason the other day, how many books have you sold? How much money have you made? And we were like, we don't even know. Like we have no idea, and because that's not what's important to us, and that's not the purpose of this. The purpose for our family and for continuing to do what we do and to share our journey is just to bring that hope to people, to let them know that there is a greater plan for each one of us, to have faith and to just trust in whatever it is that you believe. Just put trust in that and to never doubt who you are as an individual, and that you have potential as well to change everyone around you and to be a light for goodness in this world. And so I think as an overall encapsulation, that's just what our intentions and our purposes are, to share that with the world, because there is still so much good, and sometimes it's hard to see that with all the bad and the negative being thrown at us. But we can be strong and we can make a difference like Kennedy did, each one of us, and make a good positive impact on one another. And that's what's really the most important. That's what we should really truly be focusing on.
Absolutely. You know, it's so interesting because for me, obviously, having a podcast is a part of my business and being able to reach and to help other people. And yet there was something, I woke up this morning, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a mess. But I woke up this morning, I could just feel it was different, that today was different. And I never had the opportunity to meet Kennedy, but I know that I can feel her today. And I can feel your guys' strength. And I hope that everybody listening to this episode can feel that to the degree that I'm just overwhelmed with it right now, and that it can provide a sense of perspective and a sense of that light that so many people are missing, and really just give everybody something to hold on to, something to look forward to, and to just open our eyes to all the little things, all the little miracles all around us. Because once you start to notice those things, your ability to see and to feel is amplified in a way that you could never do alone if you felt like you were trudging alone. What I love about Kennedy's story, about your story, is that it's a clear indicator and proof that nobody's walking alone, that there is no loneliness in this. And despite how much pain and sadness is at times accompanying those struggles and those trials, that just to open your eyes and to take off the blinders, to realize that you're surrounded by people. By people in this world and beyond that are all trying to help and buoy you up. I cannot thank you guys enough for really just taking the time out to share a bit of your story and the love of Kennedy, and just to pour that into my community. I know that this will be something that they can really take away from and really give them perspective and light to continue on through their day and whatever struggles and trials that they're facing. Where there's so many different places where people can learn more about you and your story. Would you be willing to kind of share where people can find more about you and about Kennedy and all of the wonderful miracles and additional light and hope that can provide?
Yeah. So Heather doesn't do social media, so I have to answer the 400 messages a day.
which she does not get which to I don't all get of this, to. So we apologize in advance if you're the message. We apologize.
So if you go to Facebook under Kennedy's Hugs, it's just Kennedy's, KENNEDYS, Hugs, HUGS. That's our Facebook page. And we used to write every day, even after she passed away, we used to write posts every day or every other day about things. And then when the movie came about, well, the book really, because so Kennedy asked us to write a book before she passed away. That's how that all started. And that was very hard. That was emotionally extremely, probably the hardest thing we had to do, because we had to relive every single moment. And thank goodness for journals. Thank goodness for Facebook that we wrote those posts in her last year of her journey, and that we kept journals from the time she was born until she passed away. And Kennedy, I'm going to tell you something interesting that actually involves you, is that today is our, I got to go look. Yeah. Well, I can remember today is our 227th time speaking to someone in a forum, you know, since she passed away in 5 years. And she told us before she died, like we said, share my story with the world, but she said, you'll speak incessantly. And we're like, what? Where would we speak? And so we've had the courage, and I will say that, to share her story, like she said. When the book was finished, it wasn't how we would have wanted it. It's not what Heather and I would have done. There is no doubt that I believe you, that Kennedy is around you today. And because she probably orchestrated this, she probably helped whisper in my ear, you know, hey, go up to the Hooley's house. There's lots of reasons why. And so we're terrible at marketing Kennedy unless it's to touch someone's life.
Yeah.
And that's where we're expert.
And I love that.
So it, you know, when it comes to the monetary side or updating things, people are like, you need to hire a manager, you need to do this. I'm like, no.
You're like, that's not the purpose.
That's not the purpose. Yeah. We're not.
It'll go where it needs to go.
And
I love that.
So the last thing I would say is that, you know, Aaron, I'm proud of you because you have the courage to share your story. And when Erin asked me to speak, it was interesting because she's like, I have something I want to ask you, but I don't know if you'll say yes. And she's like, will you be on my podcast? I'm like, well, of course. Yeah, I'd do anything for you guys. But when she told me it was called Conquering Chaos, I'm like, that's so funny because Heather and I speak, and we speak to big groups about chaos. And we say, enjoy the chaos. So those of you that are in chaos, enjoy the chaos, because I saw that 4 years before Kennedy died, when I had that paramount experience. And I told Heather, enjoy this. Enjoy sucking out, you know, her oxygen tube. Enjoy putting her in a wheelchair, because, and that's may sound dumb, but I said, because you'll miss it. Enjoy being up all night with her. Enjoy, you know, enjoy the good. You'll miss it. And we do. We miss it. And so we learned to just have, and how to function with two other kids and a business and a full-time job. And, you know, just like, how am I going
to. Yes.
And then when it all went silent, we finally had a moment, we missed it. And so my plea to those out there is, you know, to end this is, do not be afraid to share your story, because you never know a life it could change or a life it could save. And we've seen that hundreds of times. And so you'll know when to share it. But also, if you have a belief in something, some power or God or something else, then pause and listen. And you'll be prompted who to share that with. And it will bless. You know, I don't know what will happen today. And honestly, we're just normal people. But I hope that this podcast will help, you know, someone. And it came from a prompting.
Yeah.
So that's all I'd leave you with.
No, I love that. And you know, it's so funny, and you're right, because when you were talking, we're you and myself and my husband Brandon, we were sitting at the kitchen table and you're sharing your story, and all of a sudden I realize I'm no longer even listening to what you're saying, because all I can hear is, ask him to be on the podcast. Yeah. He needs to be on the podcast. And I'm like, oh my gosh, so I can actually pay attention again. I need to just ask him. And I was totally embarrassed, because I'm thinking, he's at our home, like, he's totally being open and vulnerable, and this is such a sweet and tender experience for us personally, and I didn't want it to be misconstrued in any way by my asking. But I just kept thinking, somebody else, not just me, not just my husband, somebody else needs to hear this message. So I don't know who you are listening right now, whether you're one person, 10 people, 1,000, or 10,000 people, but this message was for you. And I felt that in the first conversation that I had with Jason, which is why all of this has come about. My hope and my prayer is that if it was for you, you recognize that. And then you take the time necessary to take a step back and to really let that sink in and really feel that love of God wash over you, knowing that if this was for you, this is his gift to you. This story, Kennedy, Jason, and Heather, their strength, their light, their spirit is his gift, a hand reaching out saying, I'm still here. I'm still here. With that, Jason and Heather, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. It's been a true honor. Thank you for taking the time to connect with me here on the Conquering Chaos podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, will you please take a moment to leave a review? It's the fuel to my fire and lets me know that my efforts to enact change and broaden your perspective of what's possible matter. Thank you so much for your support. If you want more content like this, don't forget to subscribe and connect with me on social media at Erin E. Hooley or at erineehooley.com. Have a fantastic day. Get out there and conquer some chaos.